Okay. So obviously we're at the time of year we're talking about tshuva. Makes sense for any number of reasons. But mostly this week because the machlokas about, the very interesting machlokas about whether tshuva constitutes an independent mitzvah versus kind of just an important value, you know, it's all based in this week's parasha. And it always surprises me how many machlokasim we know that we assume are based on all kind of fancy ideas, when in fact they're just based on different readings of a pasuk. And tshuva is a really, really great example of where the explanation for whether you count it as a mitzvah or not may simply be, how do you read certain psukim in this week's parsha? So why don't we start there, and then we'll move on to bigger points in the discussion of tshuva. Let's see. Okay, here we are. So first of all, because I've cleverly bolded a particular word in this week's parsha, it's hard to miss out on the fact that it's not one pasuk. This is the Parshas HaTshuva in the Torah. It's the end of, you know, it's arguably the last, literally the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And he chooses to speak about tshuva. Maybe. So let's read a little bit. So Moshe says, all these things are going to come to pass. All the brachot, all the klalot that were in last week's parsha and this week's parsha. And the fairest translation is, you know, you will take these things to heart as you're in exile, because things are not going to go well. You'll be exiled, but you'll take these things to heart. Then comes really the main pasuk bet. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, Vishamata bikolo, Kechol Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, Ata Uvanecha bechol leva v'chol v'chol nafshecha. Now here, again, if we were sitting around a table, it'd be easier to just ask people what they think. There are two possible readings of this pasuk. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Who wants to take a shot at that? Anybody? What does that mean? Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha.
You will return.
In the sense of,
it's a prophecy.
It's a promise. Right. Moshe is saying, don't worry, even though you'll be exiled, you will return. If that's the case, and assuming this is the pasuk on which the machlokas of whether there's a mitzvah to do tshuva or not, then the answer is one reading is, I don't see a mitzvah here. I see a prediction. I see a promise. The other translation for the word vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha is an imperative. I'm commanding you, when this happens, to return to God and to repent, you and your children, your household. And when you do that, vishav Hashem Elokecha et shvucha v'richamecha, then God will return to you. Vishaviki betzcha mikol ha'amim asher fitzcha Hashem Elokecha shama. Okay, and then the psukim go on, no matter how dispersed you are, you will return. You know, over and over again, the verb shav, lashuv, tashuv, that you'll return. Rabbi Yoel ben Nun thinks it's all about Zionism, just to let you know, that the tshuva that's being discussed here is return to the land of Israel. God has dispersed you as a punishment for your behavior. When you choose, it's just an interesting perspective, when you choose to return physically to the land of Israel, then God will embrace you, will know that, you know, that you want to return to him, and will deal with you that way. You know, that a lot of that reading explains why certain religious Zionists, Rav Kook in particular, embraced Chilonim when they came back. Rav Kook said, first you come back to the land, then you can do tshuva later. But the return to the land is a statement that I want to re-energize or rekindle or re-engage with God. Okay, but back to Pasuk Bet. So one reading is it's a prediction. Vishavta, even though you're dispersed, you know, one day you'll return. The other is it's an imperative. It's a mitzvah. God is saying you must do tshuva. And when you do tshuva, all these good things will happen. Now, if you ask me, and nobody is, but so what? You know, this parsha to me reads less like a mitzvah and more like a prediction, right? Moshe is telling him what's going to happen. You'll be dispersed. And, you know, nobody thinks God is a mitzvah to do tshuva. There are certain chassidim who do. It's like a cool shita, right? If God commands us to do something, he has to do it also. And so v'shavta ad Hashem alkecha will return. Then he has to. Then v'shav Hashem alkecha tshuv chavri chamecha. Then he'll have to return as well. Okay? But the problem comes a bunch of psukim later. I didn't have room to put all the psukim down, but go to the bottom of source number one. The Torah says, ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzvah v'cha hayom, this mitzvah lo nifleti mimcha v'lo rechokahi. It's not hidden. It's not far away from you. You can't avoid the fact that the Torah describes it as ha-mitzvah hazot. It sort of makes you go back and reread the psukim to look, okay, what's the mitzvah? So the Ramban right there, you know, tries to straighten things out by saying as follows. V'tam ki ha-mitzvah hazot. First, the Ramban quotes others who say, al kol ha-Torah kula. This isn't a discussion just of the mitzvah of tshuva. It's talking about keeping the Torah, observing the Torah, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us it's not that hard. You can keep the Torah. Lo bashamayim hi, right? Lo me'ever layam hi. You could keep the Torah. But the Ramban doesn't like that. And he says, v'hanachon, what I really think pshat in the pasuk is, ki al kol ha-Torah yomar, kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Says the Ramban, it's true. Sometimes the Torah says kol ha-mitzvah, and it refers to the whole Torah. Aval ha-mitzvah hazot, when the Torah says this mitzvah, it doesn't mean the whole Torah. Rather, it means al ha-tshuva ha-nizkeret. It refers specifically to the mitzvah of tshuva that the Ramban says was referenced above, the psukim we read. And he explains, ki vahashevota el levavecha v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, mitzvah, bolded words, mitzvah sheyitzav otanu la'asod kein. Says the Ramban, my reading of the psukim in this week's parsha is, God is commanding us to do a mitzvah called tshuva. But here, you read carefully, you notice how honest the Ramban is. Ramban says, v'ne'emra b'lashon ha-beinoni. What's beinoni? Beinoni is in between. The Ramban is acknowledging there's more than one way to read the pasuk. He says, I'm saying it's a mitzvah, but I'm acknowledging it's written b'lashon ha-beinoni, kind of an in-between grammar. Why? Lirmoz b'haftacha. Ki atid hadavar liyokein. The Ramban says both. I agree with both readings. I think on the one hand, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah saseh min haTorah that you have to do tshuva. At the same time, it's also a promise. It's also a prediction. It's also a prophecy that no matter how bad things get, no matter how dispersed we are, we will always have the ability to return to God. Okay, and that's what he's vatam lemar. Ki mihiyani dachacha bitzeh shamayim. If you're really dispersed, vata biyad ha'amim, don't worry. Tuchal lashuva lashem v'la'asok kichah shanochim mitzavcha yom. You'll still be able to do tshuva. Ki ein ha'davar nifla v'rachok mimcha. It's not impossible. Aval, on the contrary, karov eilecha me'od la'asoto b'chaleitu v'chal makom. Okay, so there's really like this great pshat. The Ramban says, both readings are true. On the one hand, God is commanding us to do the mitzvah of tshuva. On the other hand, God is encouraging us and saying there's no point in history in which tshuva will be beyond you. You'll always be able to do it. You have my promise. It's really an amazing shita. But that's the Ramban. So the Ramban seems to say that tshuva is a mitzvah. We'll now turn to the Rambam, who on first reading seems to say tshuva is not a mitzvah. But we'll explain, according to a famous idea of Rav Soloveitchik, why it is. But before that, I want to share a thought with you, because I've changed my mind on this. This is something I think about a lot. I've completely changed my mind. When I was younger, I was desperate for tshuva to be a mitzvah. You know, on the theory that if it wasn't a mitzvah, it'd be less important. You know, things that are mitzvahs are really important. Things that are not mitzvahs are less important. Now, I've learned that that's not true. There are plenty of values. There are plenty of fundamental halachic values that are not in mitzvahs. For the Zionists amongst us, right, the Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We think that's because it's too big, it's too foundational to be a mitzvah. A better example, which doesn't require Zionism, is the Bahag does not count belief in God in the Taryag mitzvahs. The Rambam goes to town on him. How could he not? And the Ramban explains as follows. The Bahag didn't count belief in God because it's too important to be a mitzvah. The way the Ramban explains it, the Bahag thinks, first you believe in God. Now that you believe in God, he can command you with 613 mitzvahs. But to make belief in God one of the 613 is circular and undermines the importance of belief in God. So I don't want to claim this.
Similar to the idea of the beginning of the Esaret HaDibrot.
If you read it that way, yes. Okay? But so you could argue that tshuva is, you know, is baked into the system. It's foundational. Of course, you know, ein sadik baratz asheyasa tov la yachata. Right? God knows he made us. He knows we're going to sin. So the system, a foundation of the system has to be return, has to be repentance. But I always assumed, or I continue to think, that there's a bigger reason why I now wish that tshuva were not a mitzvah. I'll just share it with you. It's a technical one, but I think it matters. Let's assume tonight, you know, God forbid, you get up at 3 a.m, you stumble into the bathroom, on your way out, you shut off the light. Okay, that is Chilul Shabbos B'Shogeg, right? You didn't remember that it was Shabbos. So it requires tshuva. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, it requires a Chatas. It requires tshuva. Now, let's ask the question. If tshuva is not a mitzvah, but it's a gift that God gave us, so great. We have an opportunity to do tshuva. But if we don't do tshuva, we weren't mevatel a mitzvah min HaTorah. We just didn't take advantage of an opportunity that God gave us. It's sad, but that's fine. On the other hand, if you take seriously that tshuva is a required mitzvah, now we're in this terrible situation where, okay, I did one bad thing. I shut off the light by accident. But now I'm going to be punished double if I don't do tshuva? Right? That seems harsh to me. That, you know, if for whatever reason I forgot to do tshuva for an aveira, now I did two averos. Okay, that's just sort of how I see it. But we'll see some of this. We'll see some of this in the sources.
Ellie,
yes.
It's almost counterintuitive if it's not something we're obligated to do, because in any relationship, you know, there's a requirement to amend and enhance that relationship. And
no, not in my view. Meaning, yes, if you want to have a good marriage, if you want to have relationships with your kids, if you want to have a good relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course you do it. You're right. It's intuitive. Otherwise, what's going to happen to your relationship? But you wouldn't want to live in a relationship where there are rules for doing tshuva, right? Where if you disappointed your wife, Henry, you never did, but let's say me. If I disappoint my wife, so the rules are you have 24 hours to buy flowers. You know, nobody wants to live in that kind of relationship. You want to live in a relationship of trust where you each act in a way that you think strengthens the relationship. But I don't think that's done by law. I don't think that's done by these are the rules. This is how we're going to treat each other if something goes wrong. I think you have to feel your way through it. But who am I? Rav Soloveitchik desperately wanted tshuva to be a mitzvah in the Rambam. He thought, he wouldn't even entertain the possibility that it wasn't, despite the fact that that's what the Rambam seems to say. Let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, source number 3, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Here he says, Kol mitzvot Shabbat Torah, bein asei ubein lo taasei, im avar adam alachat mehen, bein bizadon, bein bishkaga. Okay, every single mitzvah, if you violated them either intentionally or accidentally, let's be clear. If you, there's something below accidentally, right? In my example, where you shut the light on Shabbos in the middle of the night, that's an Avera b'shogeg that requires tshuva. But if you're at Kiddush on Shabbos and you're reaching for the chalent and a guy knocks your hand out of the way into the light switch and you shut it off, that's onus, that's misasek. That's a category for which you don't have to do tshuva at all because you didn't do anything wrong. At 3 in the morning on Friday night, you're supposed to be the kind of person who remembers it's Shabbos. As a result, you have to do tshuva. But if something happens that's completely out of your control, just so you'll know, that doesn't require tshuva. Fine. But now we're dealing with something that does require tshuva. It says the Rambam in the second line that I bolded. Kishiyaaset tshuva v'yashuv mechato. I'll translate as fairly as I can. When, if you do tshuva and you repent from your sin, chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, then you are obligated to confess in front of God. Okay, we'll come to those psukim later. And the Rambam says, vidui ze mitzvat asei. Confessing your sin is a mitzvat asei. What's not a mitzvat asei in this Rambam? Tshuva. It's a strange thing. So we'll see. That's how the Menchas Chinuch understands this Rambam and Reb Soloveitchik, either in the first or second chapter of Al HaTshuva, I can't remember which, he's offended by that idea. So first, let's turn to the Menchas Chinuch, who basically says that the thing that I fear most is true. Says the Menchas Chinuch in source number 4, Ach be'emet ze'eino, bevadai tshuva hi mitzvah mechuyevet. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the Rambam's wrong. The Ramban is right. Tshuva is an absolute mitzvah that is required to be done. De HaTorah Tzivta, the Torah commanded us. Im Avar Aveira de Mechuyav Laso Tshuva. Simple as that. Torah says, if you did an Aveira, you must do Tshuva. V'gam Vidui Kmo Tfilin Umatza V'Domeha. Saying vidui as part of your tshuva is obligatory, like tefillin is obligatory, like eating matzah on Pesach is obligatory. The second you sin, just like at Leil HaSeder, you have an obligation to eat matzah. The second you sin, you have an obligation to do tshuva. Im kein, here's the bad part, im lo asa tshuva kahogen, if you don't do proper tshuva that you're obligated to do, over b'chol rega al mitzvat asei. The thing I was afraid of, the Minchas Chinuch takes as a given. You went to the bathroom, you shut off the light on Shabbos. Now you all of a sudden have a new obligation, that's to do tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva, you've now been bevatel mitzvat asei of not doing tshuva on top of your iser of being mechal Shabbos. V'imet below tshuva, he thinks you have the rest of your life. If you die without having done tshuva, just like if you didn't eat matzah at Leil HaSeder, you get punished for that. Just like you get punished for shutting a light off on Shabbos b'shogeg, hachanami here too, nifra'in mimenu, dehaya chayav ba'asei d'tshuva v'lo asa. So first they tell you, remember that time you shut the light off on Shabbos? You have to be punished for that. And then you remember the time you shut the light off on Shabbos and you chose not to do tshuva? You have to be punished for that. Right? So that's the downside of making tshuva a mitzvah, in that all of a sudden now you have negative word scored every single time you do an aveira. And that's a lot of pressure and that's hard. Okay, but that's a Minchas Chinuch. But within the Rambam, he says, no, aval midivri Rambam, mivuar bidvarav de'ein ha-tshuva mitzvah taseh. The Rambam doesn't think tshuva is a mitzvah. De lo katav mitzvat asei sheyaseh tshuva. He doesn't say you're obligated to do tshuva. Menchas Chinuch is right. The Rambam doesn't say that. Rak All the Rambam says is if you want to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah is vidui. Ve'im kein ba'asa tshuva v'lo hitvada ein lo onesh ala vidui mikol shekein. Dim lo asa tshuva klal ein lo onesh. He says, so the Rambam would hold, if you did tshuva without vidui, okay, you didn't get a mitzvah saseh, but you didn't do anything wrong, because it's not obligatory. Okay? So that's basically it. So the Menchas Chinuch supports the idea that scares me, which is every time you do an aveira, you're immediately obligated to do tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva, you get a second demerit. And he says within the Rambam, it's clear that the Rambam does not think that tshuva is a mitzvah. Rather, the Rambam thinks if you say vidui as part of your tshuva, you got a mitzvah. Okay, that's a hard sheet to defend within the Rambam. So first of all, let's look at the psukim. Vidui never appears in the context in this week's parasha. It doesn't appear in Nitzavim, not in the context of tshuva. Where does it appear? It appears in Naso in the context of Karbanot. Source number 5, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Ish o Isha ki Asu Mikol Chatot Adam, Lim Ol Ma'al Ba'ashem Va'ashma Nefesh Ahi, a person rebels or sins, Vihit Vadu et Chatatam Asher Asu. They have to confess their sin, meaning bringing a karban is not some kind of magical thing. If I bring a sheep and I slaughter and I spill the blood, God will forgive me. No, I have to repent on the karban. And then there's like in philosophy, you know, there's like a transference of my sin to the sheep, and then the sheep is killed. But without vidui, you didn't get anywhere. You haven't done anything. A karban chatas only works, karban asham only works if you did vidui. Meaning you have to recognize that you did something. It's not like a price, lahavdil. It's not like, you know, a bunch of Hail Marys. You have to recognize what you did wrong. You have to want to repent. You have to accept on it. You have to, you know, accept the idea that you won't do it again. You say these things over your karban. Then your karban is shechted and you receive kapara.
So this is only, we're talking here, Bein Adam Lamako.
Yes, I'll tell you how I know this. Because the halacha is clear that Yom Kippur is only mechaper on Bein Adam Lamako. Bein Adam Lachaveros, you need to go to the person, you know, and beg for forgiveness. Okay? So that, but the idea of Vidui, again, this is the only place that Vidui appears in the Torah. So it appears as it, you know, as an independent requirement related to Karbanot.
Not so, Eli. It appears in Yom Kippur at Ach Parshas Achrimos.
And didn't we also say Bikurim?
Jackie, of course, is right, but it's not a fair presentation. You're right. It's part of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So you could say, well, if this is what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, from here we learn that we should do this all year long. But that's a stretch, and it doesn't appear anyplace. That's not what the Rambam says, and that's not what the other Rishonim say. They quote. Yeah, right, but that's the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's true you could argue that. What I would tell Jackie is, I don't know where that appears. If you could find, you know, somebody who says tshuva is a mitzvah, look at the psukim in Achremos, that'd be a big deal. But I don't know that exists.
Don't we also use the phrase with vidui bikurim last week?
Yeah, but that's just the same word that's used in a different context.
Okay.
Okay. So why, despite the fact that the Rambam seems pretty clear that tshuva is not a mitzvah, why was Rav Soloveitchik so insistent that it is? So there are two Rambams that he quoted to support this. Both of them are in Hilchos Tshuva, and both of them are interesting. Look at source number 6. Here's the Rambam Perek Zayin Halacha Hey of Hilchos Tshuva. Kol ha-nevi'im kulan tzivu ala tshuva, ve'ein Yisrael nigalim ela b'tshuva. So first of all, the Rav said, like, it just sounds like kol ha-nevi'im kulan tzivu ala tshuva, that tshuva is a mitzvah. So it's true, you could say, well, maybe it's if the nevi'im were tzivu, maybe it's only Drabana. Who knows? But then he gets to this week's parsha. Ve'ein Yisrael nigalin ela b'tshuva. We're only going to be, you know, redeemed and brought back to Israel if we do tshuva. Ukvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael la'asot tshuva. And the Rambam says, and the Torah already promised us that at the end, we will do tshuva. What's the Rambam referring to?
Our parsha. Sheets
of him. Our parsha. How do I know? Because I read ahead. Shenemar v'haya ki avo alecha kal adivrim o'eileh. Right? V'shavtad Hashem lekecha v'shav Hashem lekecha. That's source number one. So that's the narrow machlokas Rambam and Ramban is. Ramban says what? The psukim in Parshas Nitzavim make clear there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Says the Rambam, no, they don't. The psukim in Parshas Nitzavim make clear that God promises us that one day we will do tshuva. It's a very, very comforting. It's a very, very comforting promise. But that's all it is. It's not a mitzvah. It's a promise. Okay, that's the first interesting Rambam. The second one is source number 7, Perek Bet Halacha Zayin. Where the Rambam says, and this is even clearer, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva Lakol. Okay, Yom Kippur is the culmination of tshuva for everybody. Liyachid V'Lerabim, individuals and the Tzibur as a whole. V'Huketz Mechila U'Slicha LiYisrael. And it is the culmination of repentance for all of the Jewish people. And here it comes. Lefikach. Therefore, Chayavim hakol la'asot tshuva ulehitvadot biyom ha-kippurim. Therefore, we're all obligated to do tshuva and say vidui, but not just vidui, to do tshuva and vidui on Yom Kippur. So here the Rambam says, how could you say here the Rav says, how could you say the Rambam doesn't think there's a mitzvah to do tshuva? He says, "Lefika chayavim hakol laasot tshuva ulehitvadot." Okay, so then what is the answer? How could he be so convinced that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva when, again, if you go back to Aleph and tshuva, the Rambam says, "Kishayaset tshuva chayav lehitvadot." So here, the Rav presented a certain way of looking at mitzvos that I don't think it's true that the Rav made it up, but I think it's obviously true that the Rav popularized it and used it in many, many situations to explain many difficult Rambams. And it's a great idea that we should, you know, spend some time talking about, because it really helps us to understand the differences between mitzvahs. The Rav's yesod is there are two types of mitzvot aseh, maybe even lo taseh also. There are two kinds. One is where the Maisa HaMitzvah is all that we're commanded. Or said a different way, where the Maisa HaMitzvah is the same as the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So for example, when you take a lulav, when you eat matzah, that's the mitzvah. There's nothing else. You have to ask yourself what stands behind. Yeah, it's nice to have great kavanos and things like that. But lulav mida'ag be'nafke, when I pick it up, I was yotze already. That's, you know, that's why we do this strange thing, right? How do we take a lulav? We turn the esrog upside down. Why not just, you know, because the second you pick it up, you yotze the mitzvah. That's the whole mitzvah. So says the Rav, there are mitzvahs like that, where the action is the entirety of the mitzvah. But says the Rav, there are also mitzvahs where the action is the means to something called the Kiyum HaMitzvah. There's the Maisa HaMitzvah, the action. There's the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah. Three examples, at least two, but I think we'll do a third also. If I ask you, you know, what's the mitzvah of Avelus? So the correct answer would be, well, if you're sitting Shiva, it involves sitting on the floor and not wearing leather shoes and not bathing and not anointing yourself and not having relations. Okay, those things. And then in Shloshim, not getting a haircut and not shaving. Says the Rav, those are the Maisa HaMitzvah. It's true. Those are the things you're required to do. But what if you do all those things and you're not sad and you don't feel the loss? You're sitting on the floor, you know, but you're yucking it up with your friends or whatever it is. So he pointed out the Mishnah says, She'ein aninut ela balev. Aninut in the Mishnah is the same as avelut. And he said as follows. It's true. The Maaseh HaMitzvah of Avelut are all of the things that we enumerated, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the fulfillment of the Mitzvah of Avelut is feeling sad. So we have all these actions we have to do that we're prohibited from doing, all in an effort to ultimately make us feel sad and make us feel the loss. And if you did the actions, but you didn't feel the loss, you didn't do the mitzvah, okay? Because all the ma'asim were just a means to get to the end. Another example, a more important example for us, is tefillah, davening. Look at source number 9. The Rambam says in the first halacha of Hilchos Tefillah, mitzvat aseh lehitparel b'chol yom, I have to daven every day, midorai, so the Rambam thinks davening once a day is all that's required. She'nemar, va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem. Mi pi ha'shmua lamdu, she'avodah zo hi tefillah. So what's the source? Va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem, and Chazal said, ula avdo b'chol avavchem, amru chachamim, eizo hi avodah she'balev, zo tefillah. Said Rav Salavechik, what's tefillah? Presumably, it's davening from a sitter. It's saying Shmona Esrei. Wrong. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. Yes, of course you have to say Shmona Esrei 3 times a day. But the Rav said that's the Maisa HaMitzvah. What's the Kiyum HaMitzvah? The Kiyum HaMitzvah is Avodah Shebalev, is feeling that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is praising Him, is asking for things, is understanding Da Lifnei Miyata Omeid. And the Rav strongly implies that it's scary for us who daven 3 times a day, that that's just the Maisa HaMitzvah. Just saying the words is a Maisa HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is either understanding what you're saying and or understanding who you're saying it to and actually connecting to and relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's another example where you think the mitzvah is davening or saying Shmona Esrei, but no, that's just the means. The end is avodah shebalev, feeling that you're worshiping God and that you're connecting to God. And he pointed out, you know, every sefer in the Rambam starts with the koteret. It's like a heading that tells you the mitzvah's in it. So if you look at the heading for Hilchos Tefillah, so it's Hilchos Tefillah Berachas Kohanim. So there's 2 separate mitzvahs. One is davening, one is Berachas Kohanim. But what's the davening mitzvah? Achat, it's one mitzvah. La'avod et Hashem b'chol yom b'tfilah. What's the real mitzvah? La'avod et Hashem. How do I get to that kiyum ha-mitzvah of avodat Hashem b'tfilah? Okay, now, as an aside, let's point out both how brilliant this idea is, even before we go back and look at Hilchos Tshuva, but also how dangerous the idea is. And this comes up all the time. In Israel, there's a thing called machshevat halacha, philosophy of halacha. People talk about ideas like this. You understand that if you separate the Maisa HaMitzvah from the Kiyum HaMitzvah, you open yourself up to, you know, all kinds of, well, what if I could change it? What if I could do it better? What if the only reason I have to eat matzah at the Seder, or better, this is an easy one. The reason I do the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim at the Seder is what? So that I'll feel that I myself have left Egypt. Well, what if it's the case that I don't really read Hebrew and I don't find the texts in the, I say this honestly, I don't really find the texts in the Haggadah moving, but you know what I love? Watching the movie, The Prince of Egypt. And when I watch that movie and I hear Mariah Carey singing, you know, I'm genuinely moved. And I think, you know, that should replace the Haggadah. Or when these people say it, that should replace the Haggadah. Okay. I think that's why we don't take seriously this idea of the Rav, because it's dangerous. because it's been used by irreligious people to try to quote unquote update the religion. But we can use it l'chumrah, meaning what if you know that in addition to reading the Haggadah at your Seder, based on your guests, you know, games would help or all kinds of other things that are not in your Haggadah. I think it's obvious if the Kiyum HaMitzvah is to get everybody at the table to feel like they left Egypt, then not only are you allowed to, you're obligated to. Okay, but I got ahead of myself. Let's go back to Tshuva and see if we could figure out what the Shitas HaRambam is. So you know where this is going. If there's a difference between Maisa HaMitzvah and Kiyum HaMitzvah, where it's going to go is that Vidui is the Maisa HaMitzvah, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the real mitzvah, is Tshuva. It's just the act of, you know, the act of doing Vidui is the Maisa HaMitzvah that gets you to Tshuva. And here the Rav said, just look in the Koteret. It's so obvious. Here's the Koteret Echos Tshuva in source number 12. Mitzvah Tase Achat, V'hu sheyashuv hachotei mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. It's just like the koteret in Hilchos Tfila, right? La'avodat Hashem b'chol yom b'tfila. What's the mitzvah? Avodat Hashem. How do you do it? Tfila. What's the mitzvah in tshuva? Tshuva is the mitzvah. V'hu sheyashuv hachotei mecheto lifnei Hashem. How do you do it? By saying vidui. There are two different things. Vidui is the means, is the Maisa HaMitzvah that leads to the ultimate mitzvah of tshuva. And Rav pointed out, you know, in the Yad HaZaka, it's Halacha Sefer. So the Rambam tells you how to do it. How do you do it? By saying vidui. What is the mitzvah? That you look in the Koter. No, the mitzvah is tshuva, right? And the Rav didn't say this, but all of a sudden you think, it's not called Hilchos Vidui in the Rambam. It's called Hilchos Tshuva. Right? You know, it's so obvious, I think, within the Rambam that the Rav is right. That, yes, the first halacha sounded like the mitzvah's vidui, not tshuva, but when you look at it as a whole, not just the textual support for that shita in the Rambam that we've seen, but it's philosophically, of course, tshuva is the mitzvah. Vidui on its own is meaningless. Vidui is the maisa mitzvah that gets you to tshuva. Now, Now that we've worked out the tshuva thing, and I think it's genius, and it works so well in the Rambam, let's go back to this bigger idea of, you know, the risk-reward of finding different ways to be mekayim a mitzvah. And here the best example is the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov. Okay, what's the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov? I'll give you a preview before we read it in the Rambam. The mitzvah is to go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a karban. Okay, so you say to yourself, well, obviously, we can't do that bizman hazeh, so there's no mitzvah of simcha anymore. How could there be? The mitzvah requires bringing a karban to the Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no karban, so you can't do the mitzvah anymore. But that's not what happened to the mitzvah. Look at source number 11. Here's the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Zayin. Shivat Yimei HaPesach Ushmonat Yimei HaChag. Sorry. Im Sha'ar Yamim Tovim Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Ta'anit. Right, that's the flip side of Simcha. You can't have any, fast, you can't mourn. And here's the real mitzvah. V'chayav Adam L'hiyot Bohen Sameach V'Tov Lev. You have to be happy. Hu ubanav v'ishto ubnei beito v'chol hanilvim alav. Right, your whole family, you have to make them happy. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. Now, what are you going to do? So the Rambam tells you the truth. Afal pi shehasimcha ha'amurakan hi karban shlamim kimo she'anu muvarim v'hilchos chagiga. The Rambam tells you, yes, if you look in my Hilchos Chagiga and you want to know how to do the mitzvah of simcha, you have to bring a karban chagiga in the Beis HaMikdash. So how could there still be a mitzvah of simcha? So the Rambam says, yesh bichlal otas simcha lismoach hu ubanav uvnei beito kol echad v'echad kira ulo. It used to be that the mitzvah was bringing a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, says the Rambam, we can't do that anymore, but that doesn't mean the mitzvah doesn't apply. Because why? And here's the Rav's idea. Because bringing a carbon chagiga was what? A maisa ha-mitzvah. But what was the kiyum ha-mitzvah? The kiyum ha-mitzvah was being happy. So originally, the way you were happy was you took your whole family to the Beis HaMikdash and you brought karbanos. But says the Rambam, okay, we've lost the ability to do the maisa ha-mitzvah of bringing a carbon. But that doesn't mean we don't have the kiyum ha-mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. We have to find another way to do the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. And then really a staggeringly interesting Rama, halacha yudchet, right where the cursor is, says the Rama, ketzad, what do you do bizman hazeh? Haktanim notein lahem klayot ve'egozimu migdanot. Little kids, you know what makes them happy, says the Rambam? I don't know, nuts and candies and treats. That's what they like. V'hanashim, what makes women happy? Konelahem bigadim v'tachshitim na'im k'mimono. Spending an appropriate amount of money based on how much you have, buying your wife new clothing for Yom Tov. And what about men? V'ha'anashim. Ochlim basar v'shotim yayin. We men are happiest, apparently, when we eat meat and drink wine. Ve'ein simcha ela b'yayin. Okay, and the ela b'basar ve'ein simcha b'yayin. Again, the Gemara says, yeah, that's what makes men happy. So now the question is, what has the Rambam done? This is all based on Gemara, so it's just easier to read it than the Rambam. What has the Rambam done? Well, I'll ask it a different way. I think we once talked about this. Let's say my kid, or now, thank God, my grandson, lets me know that he wants to get a red bike. And he passed by the store and he showed it to me. You know, that's what he wants to get for Pesach, for his Afikoman present, making the happiest person in the world. But I'm going to tell him, listen, I'm sorry, the Rambam says I'm giving you nuts. That's what the Rambam paskins, you know, children nuts. Your wife tells you she wants this thing. I'm sorry, I'm getting you a dress. That's what the Rambam. It doesn't sound possible. It doesn't seem right. It seems like the Rambam isn't paskining we have to give kids treats. The Rambam is saying we have to look for ways to be mekayim the mitzvah. Now, I suppose he could have stopped there. But, you know, the Gemara also brought these examples. You know, how binding are these examples? I say, oh, I don't really know. On the one hand, you go, hey, the Rambam paskin, you know, nuts are what kids like. My kid is allergic to nuts. Not just he doesn't like it, it's going to kill him. You know, so I don't know the answer. My guess is it's not possible the Rambam wants me to give popcorn, you know, to a kid who wants a bike. It just seems impossible. But the Rambam is clearly struggling here with the interplay between Maisa HaMitzvah and Kiyum HaMitzvah. Kiyum HaMitzvah is what? Is being happy. And, you know, we lose track of that sometimes. We're so from, we just do the Maisa Mitzvah. And, you know, that's not it. The idea is for the family to be happy. And I think everybody has to ask themselves, you know, what's the way in which my family, my kids would be happiest? Same thing, sukkah, right? Sukkah is exactly the opposite of lulav. I don't know why we take a lulav. I don't know what the Kiyama Mitzvah is. I know we have to take a lulav, we wave it. Fine, I do it every year. It's not my favorite mitzvah. I love sitting in the sukkah. You know why I love sitting in the sukkah? Because the pasuk is clear. I sit in the sukkah. L'ma'an yedu'u dorotechem ki basukot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael. When I sit in the sukkah, I think about the fact that we sat in sukkahs when God took us out of Egypt. It's very meaningful to me. So now you say to yourself, okay, if you want to make that even more, what are ways you can make that even more meaningful? Well, there's a machlokas. Was it a real sukkah or anane akavod, right? Every year or so, Elka suggests we get gigantic cotton balls and like we put them up around our sukkah. So that we've never actually done it. So don't be so impressed. But, you know, the idea would remind people of sitting in clouds of glory in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. Do I think that that would add to the mitzvah? 1,000%. I think if the Rambam thought of it, if I went to the Rambam and I told him my idea or Elka's idea, I think he'd be happy. It doesn't say any place. But if the purpose of the mitzvah is to remind us that we left Egypt in Sukkos, that God built for us, according to one Shita, then anything we can think of that would help drive that point home, you know, ought to work. And that's the upside. And I think, you know, we ignore creativity or our own input into mitzvos, again, because we're so afraid of the other side. And there is what to be afraid of. You know, if we redo halacha, we'll be in trouble. But if we add to halacha, if we personalize halacha, if there are things that, you know, when there's a maisa mitzvah, so of course, you have to do the maisa mitzvah. There's no way around it, right? You can't watch a movie about sukkos. You have to sit in a sukkah. But if there are things you could do within sitting in your sukkah that make it more meaningful to you, to your family, towards the kiyum hamitzvah, you know, you got to do it. And I think that, you know, the same thing with simcha and yom tov. And the same thing for us with davening. If there are things we could do to help ourselves, you know, understand when we daven that we're standing in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu and we're doing genuine avodah shebelev, I think we have to do it. It's as simple as that. Now, last thing.
I have a question, Ellie. This is Joel. When you think about tshuva, it actually is tied to the sin that you did, right? So you might have not sat in the sukkah, or you might have missed davening, or you might have, you know, hurt someone. So when you think about it, maybe that's why it's not considered a mitzvah in itself by Rambam. It's actually an enhancement of the mitzvah that you want to do better, or that you're giving, you know, trying to get, you know, repent from. So it's really tied to every mitzvah.
So I agree with you to some extent, right? If you think that it's implicit. Every, you know, God gave us a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. And implicit in that is if you don't keep Shabbos, you have to do tshuva for not keeping Shabbos. Okay? God gave us a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Implicit, it would be hard for me to argue with that position. But I'll just point out, because we did this last week, that there's really two parts to tshuva. The first is fixing the sin that I did. But the bigger one is fixing my relationship with God. And that's much, much bigger than any individual act. You know, God forbid a person cheats on his wife. So, okay, whatever the tshuva process involves for fixing that, I don't mean to show off. I don't really know. Okay? But bigger than that is what it did to your relationship. You can't just fix, okay, I did this thing wrong and I'm fixing it. If you have a real relationship with your wife, if you have a real relationship with your children, if you have a real relationship with your parents, if you have a real relationship with God, tshuva is much bigger than just the do's and the don'ts. Tshuva is much bigger than I made this mistake and I didn't hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. No, but it hurt God that I didn't do that. And so I agree with what you're saying, but I think what you're saying is true technically, but that there's a much bigger idea behind it. And because it's hard to quantify that idea, and also because it's an idea that we're uncomfortable speaking about, because it makes it sound like we can impact God, and all of us were taught that we can't, even though the answer is we can. It's another idea we don't talk about, but that's part of it. Okay, why don't we end here? We could do the technicalities another time. Basically, we started by discussing whether tshuva is a mitzvah or not. I think it doesn't matter at all. I think the discussion of whether it's a mitzvah or not, you know, just doesn't matter. It's such an important value. But interestingly, we saw the Ramban reads the Psukim in this week's Parsha as a commandment, as an imperative to do tshuva, although he admits that it's also a promise. The Rambam says, no, it's not a mitzvah at all, or at least in the Psukim. All we read in this week's parasha is a promise. What the Rambam does have is psukim of vidui in Naso relating to karbanos. Again, Jackie had this interesting idea. It's a good idea. I don't think it's halachic. You know, what we see vidui on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, in all events, the Rambam seems to say in Halacha Alav Avichos Tshuva that the mitzvah is vidui, not tshuva, the Rav said that's ridiculous. And again, the Minchas Chinuch himself thinks that's the Rambam Shita, but himself thinks it's a mitzvah. And if you don't do it, you get a double demerit, which I find terrifying. And the Rav came and said, no, you misunderstood the Rambam. And it's really genius. There are two types of mitzvahs, right? There's a mitzvah where the ma'aseh and the kiyum is one and the same. And there's a, right? And there's a mitzvah where it's different. So just like in Avelos, you have all these acts, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah is sadness. Just like on Yom Tov, you have all these acts, but the real kiyum ha-mitzvah is simcha. Just like in tefillah, there's all these things you're supposed to say, but the real kiyum is avodah shebalev, says the Rav. That's exactly what the Rambam meant in Ilchas Tshuva. The mitzvah is, of course, tshuva. How do you do it? By saying vidui. But vidui is not the mitzvah. Tshuva is the mitzvah. Okay, we did our best with this. Yashkar to everybody. I guess I should apologize. I mean it in a more sincere way. Every once in a while, a lot of times to Jackie, to other people, I'm short or insulting. I consider it a great privilege and honor to learn with you every Friday. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just how I talk sometimes. So, ksiu v'achsima tov to everybody. I hope if I ever insulted you on the shir that you forgive me. And if you do, I'll see you next Friday, God willing. Yashkach.
Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos and a ketiva v'chatima tov.